Well, that is a good sound to hear, isn't it? Amen. Sound of fellowship. We're going to be hearing that sound in heaven for a long, long time. And I love to hear that sound. I want to welcome you again this morning to LifePoint. It's great to have you here, all our regular folks and those who may be visiting for the first time. I just want to tell you, we love you. We're glad that you're here. And it's our prayer that you'll see Jesus in everything that's done today. We don't want you to see us. We want you to see him. So welcome. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I hope you'll get in the habit of bringing God's Word with you. It's so important. It just makes such a difference to bring the Bible with you, and I hope you'll get in the habit of doing that. It's kind of, you know, coming to church without a Bible is kind of like going to play golf without your clubs. It's kind of hard to do that. So I'd encourage you to bring your Bible, to mark in it, to make notes. I got a brand new Bible this year. Look at that. Isn't that cool? The only thing is I don't have any notes in it yet, so I'm lost. So I have to start again from scratch and remark this whole thing. But I'd encourage you to use your Bible, mark in it, write in it, color, highlight verses. And then when you go back through it, they'll stand out and you'll remember a time that God really spoke to your heart about something. And it'll help you a lot in your Bible reading. Did I tell you where to turn to? You're supposed to know these things, aren't you? Ephesians chapter 3. As we step into a new year together, in 2008, I want to share with you this morning our church verse for this coming year. And I apologize because this next slide is just a lot more difficult to read than I thought it would be on these screens. But you can, if you can't read that, you can see it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. These are our church verses for 2008. The Bible says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." What a great couple of verses. I want to speak to you this morning on a message that I've entitled, "He is Able." He is able. And that is going to be our theme for this year. He is able. You know, as I look back on the years past and the verses that God has brought to mind to be kind of our church verse for that year, it's amazing how I see how God has used that verse in the lives of people in this body throughout that year. It's just extraordinary to see how that has taken place. And I don't know why God has brought these verses to mind for 2008, but I can guarantee you this, sometime before this year is out, this church is going to face a situation where we are going to have to come back to this promise and remind ourselves that God is able to do what we cannot do. You can mark that down. God's preparing us for that. He is able. As a matter of fact, I've been working on a whole series of messages around that one theme, those three words, He is able. But for some reason, I just don't feel that I need to bring those messages at the beginning of the year. I'm kind of feeling like maybe we need to wait till the fall for some reason. So we're going to put those off. But there's a whole list of things throughout the Bible that it reminds us that He is able to do. And we're going to talk about those later in the year. He is able to save completely those who come to Him. He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. He's able to help those who are being tempted. He's able to make all grace abound to you. He's able to deal gently with those who are going astray. He's able to keep you from falling, and on we could go. What a wonderful thought. But this morning, what I want to focus on is that we serve a God who is able to do things in your life, in your family, in this church, in this community that are so far beyond your imagination. That's what I want us to focus on today. I wonder what you're facing in your life today that is beyond you. Anything? It's beyond you. We serve a God who is able. He's able to deal with that situation in your life. Nothing's too big for Him. I wonder if there's a situation in your life right now that every time you think of it, it looks to you like Mount Everest, and you say, there is no possible way I will ever be able to climb that. There's no way. I want to tell you this morning, He is able. I wonder, on the flip side of that coin, if there's anybody here who has a dream in your heart, a passion, a burden for something that God has planted there, and it is about to burn a hole through your chest. A dream of something that you want to see God accomplish in your life, in your family, in this church, in this community. And you just look and you go, man, I don't even know where to start. It seems so big. God, what do I do? Listen, He is able. He's able to bring that dream from just fantasy to reality. He's able to do that. I want to just move quickly through some of the parts of this verse today, and then I want to do something a little different at the end of this service. Notice the first thing that He says in verse 20. He says, now to Him. To who? To God. See, He's right at the beginning of this statement, He's pointing our focus, He's pointing our attention in the right direction. The Bible says again and again, don't fix your eyes on the things of this world. Fix your eyes on Him. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, now to Him. See, it's Him. It's God who is the one that we need to be looking to for the power, for the strength that we need to deal with the issues in this life, to realize the dreams and to see them become fulfilled that He's put inside of us. It's Him. He doesn't say now to you, who has the power within yourself, like Tony Robbins would tell you. It's not to you who is able to do all these things in your life. It's not to your spouse who's able to fulfill you and make you happy. It's not to your bank account. It's not to your job. It's not to your retirement. He says, to Him. Focus your attention on Him, He says. It's Him. And then He goes on to say, now to Him who is able. It's interesting, that word able comes from the Greek word, which I've told you about once before, dunamis. It means power. It's where we get our word dynamite from. The scripture is saying, not just, oh yeah, God's able to do that. I mean, imagine if we served a God who was kind of able to work in the situations in our life. He was sometimes able to help us with things. Well, yes, our God is a good God, but He only works on Mondays and Thursdays. And only from 8 to 3. But even then, He's really busy, you know, and it's kind of hard to get through to Him and get hold of Him. Well, what good would that do? Well, what good would it do if we had a God who was able to do some things, but when it got to the really hard things, it was just kind of beyond Him. He wasn't able to really do anything. I believe that's why the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to use this word in the Greek original that he did. Not just He's able. I'm able to do some things, but I'm not powerful. What this verse is literally saying is now to Him who is powerful to be powerful. He's able. Now watch this next phrase. It says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. Now, when the translators got to this section of Scripture, translating from the original Greek into English so that we could understand it. Aren't you glad they did that so we didn't have to all learn Greek? When they got to this section, this is a known fact. They sat at this verse and these brilliant men scratched their heads. It's like, I don't know how to put this into English where it's even going to make sense in English because of the way that Paul wrote this. And that's why in the NIV, and I think they did a great job of trying to put this into a term that we can understand, but even then it falls short. The NIV says that God is able to do immeasurably more. That's pretty good. The New American Standard, which is another great translation, very literal word-for-word translation. That's why sometimes when you read it, it's kind of choppy reading because it's a very word-for-word as opposed to a phrase-by-phrase translation. The New American Standard says, far more abundantly beyond. Who talks like that? Nobody. I mean, you know, wow, that thing we had the other night, that was far more abundantly beyond anything. You go on, what? It's a great translation, but it just kind of doesn't talk like we talk. The King James says, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. I like that one. What's going on here? Well, what Paul is trying to tell us in this verse is that not only is our God able to do everything we ask, he doesn't stop there. He says he's able to do everything we ask or imagine or think. But he doesn't stop there. He says he's able to do beyond everything that we ask or imagine. You go, okay, that's pretty strong, that's powerful, I get it. But he doesn't stop there. He says he's able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. But he doesn't stop there. He says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above. I mean, he's not content to just stop and say, hey, we serve a God who's able to do anything you ask or imagine. That phrase to me alone would give me, you know, a year's worth of material to ponder and try to dive into. But he says he is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond and above all that we ask or imagine. The Greek in this phrase is so bizarre. Paul starts out by using the word huper, H-U-P-E-R, which means above. And then he throws in the word ek, the Greek word ek, which intensifies huper and adds the idea of exhaustlessness. And then he uses the Greek word parousos, which means over and above, exceeding more than necessary. And then, what really threw the translators is Paul uses the word huper again. Above, above. And then he uses the Greek word pass, which means everything in a collection of all things. It means superabundantly above measure, to surpass, exceedingly, immeasurable, over and above, infinite, more than enough. You say, Phil, what's the point? I didn't come to get a Greek lesson this morning. Well, neither did I. But the point that I'm trying to make, what I want you to see this morning, listen, church, are you with me this morning right now? We don't serve a God who's just kind of able to work in your circumstances. We don't serve a God who's really efficient at helping you. We serve a God who is exceeding abundantly able to help you above and beyond everything you could ever ask or think. What should that mean to you? What should that mean to me? Yeah, we have a God, he's pretty good. He's let me down a bunch of times, but he's okay. I mean, he'll do. No. Our God is super abundantly, exceedingly above all imagination, able to do everything that we could ever ask or think. What that tells me, it tells me that I need to be running to him more than I do. I need to be calling out to him more than I do right now in my life. Listen, If your dad had $40 billion in the bank, and you knew through experience with him, through your relationship with him, that he was the most loving, caring, thoughtful, generous man on the planet, and he had $40 billion in the bank, would you go to him and say, "Hey, Dad, I hate to bother you. I know this is going to really put a dent in your account, but I really need $5. No, man, I'd be going, "Hey, Dad, how about a billion? Can I start with a billion?" We have a God who not only is able to do anything and everything beyond our imagination, but he owns it all. It's all his. All the resources are his. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, which, you know, to the writers in that day was a big deal. To us, it's like, well, I don't really want a cow. But, you know, to them, I mean, that was a big thing. Cattle on 1,000 hills? Seriously? Wow, that's huge. You know, he owns the wealth in every mine, as the song says. It's all his. What are we waiting for? We have a Father who has it all and a Father who is able to do it all. Are we doing anything with that? We have problems in our life and we sit and we stew and fret and worry and panic over them. Why? We face situations in our life that slam us to the ground and we just lay there thinking, well, I guess I'm down and out. Why? We have dreams in our heart that God has put there and we let people stuff them down and push them down and we let them wither and die. Why? He is able. He is able. Whatever you're facing in your life this morning, my friend, listen to me. God is able to deal with that. He's able to do more than deal with it. Scott Wesley Brown wrote a great song years ago. He said, "There is no problem so big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so tall He cannot move it. There is no storm so dark He cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world on His shoulders, then I know, my brother, that He can carry you. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, then I know, my sister, that He can carry you." Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for You." Nothing. He's able. He is able. I want you to see that this morning. He's able to solve any problem that you're facing. He's able to fill the deepest longing in your soul. He's able. He's able to answer any prayer that you pray to Him. And He's able to do it in a way that exceeds your wildest imagination. Isaiah 30:18 says, "God longs to be gracious to you." You know, that may be a verse that some of you need to memorize. Because I meet so many people who have grown up with a picture of God that He's an old, disgruntled man up in heaven who's ticked off at the human race, who's annoyed with you, and who carries a big stick around just waiting for you to do something wrong so He can come and crack you over the head with it. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder if anybody here grew up with that picture of God. I know lots of people who do, who have. Does God deal with sin? Yeah, you know how He dealt with sin? He sent His Son to pay for it, so that you could be free. And He longs to be gracious to you. Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he says this remarkable thing. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? But let me ask you, are we asking him? Now, I'm not talking about asking God for things that you can use to fill your own desires and pleasures. James warns against that in his book. He says, you have not because you ask not, but you're asking to fulfill your own desires and pleasures. Ask according to God's will, and he will answer you. God always answers your prayer. Listen, God will always give you what you ask for in prayer, or he will give you something better. Even when he says no, he's planning something better. I tell you, I've seen it 100 times in my life. I've prayed for something and God said no, and I'm like, God, it's just not fair. 4 or 5 years down the road, I look back and I say, thank you, Lord. He gave me something better. I think too often as Christians, we just don't ask. We're good at talking about Christian things in general terms, faith and prayer. But can we tell somebody the last time we stepped out on faith, a specific incident? Can we tell somebody the last time we prayed for something specific and God broke through and we saw him answer? Or are we just living the Christian life in general safe terms? Are we asking? He's able. Someone once shared a story of a dream that they had. They dreamed that they died and went to heaven. And after some time in heaven, they saw off to the side this enormous building. It was bigger than any building they'd ever seen in their life. They walked up to it and walked through the doors. And when they got inside, it was like a warehouse. But it just went forever. And he looked up and the racks disappeared out of sight in an upward direction. There was no end. And he looked down this way, and the racks disappeared out of sight that way and this way. It was huge, and it was filled with boxes of every shape and size. And he said to one of the angels, what is this place? What is this? And he said, oh, these are all the prayers that God wanted to answer for his people, but they never asked. We stand here at the brink of 2008. I wonder if there's something in your life today that you need to ask God for. But I want us to get specific this morning. I don't want us to talk about a message like this, that God is able, and then just kind of wander off and go, well, that was great. I want us to get specific. I love the story in Luke 18. The Bible says that Jesus was headed towards Jericho, and there were crowds following him. Can you picture it with me? Coming on one of those dusty roads, Jesus is walking, and his disciples are around him, no doubt, and crowds of people who've heard what he can do are clamoring after him, and they're following him, and they're walking down that dusty road. Jericho is just in sight, and the crowd is probably kicking up dust from the road, talking and making noise and clamoring, trying to get to Jesus. The Bible says that on the side of that road, there was a blind man sitting there. And as the crowd went by, I'm guessing that he probably ate some dust that was kicked up from that crowd. And he heard the noise, he heard the footsteps and the commotion, but he couldn't see what was going on. The Bible says he called out and said, what's happening? And they said to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The Bible says he began to cry out. That word means to call like a drowning man. To yell like your life depends on it. It's not like, Jesus, if you've got a minute, I'd like to maybe have a word with you. The Bible says he called out, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know what the Bible says in the next verse? Those that led the way sternly rebuked him. I wonder if it was those knucklehead disciples I don't know. It says those who led the way sternly rebuked him. They weren't saying, hey, if you don't mind, be quiet. They were saying, shut up. You're nobody. You don't count. Just stay there on the side of the road. Be quiet. The Bible says he called all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then the Bible says Jesus stopped. Whew. He stopped. And he said, bring him to me. They brought the man to Jesus. And in Luke 18, verse 41, Jesus asked one of the most stunning questions I have ever heard in my life. They bring a blind man to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? First time I read that, I was like, duh, he's blind. What do you think he wants you to do for him? But I understand it now. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, get specific with me. Because it never dawned on me that this blind man might have had a bigger need in his life than blindness. Maybe he had a daughter at home who was dying of some disease. Maybe he would have said, God, I don't care about my blindness. I'll happily stay blind. Heal my daughter. See, we assume sometimes. Jesus didn't do that. It's a stunning question. That question rattles me every time I read it. Here's a blind man. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He was saying, hey, get specific. Tell me what you want me to do. There's an old song I remember from my childhood. I loved it. Don't hear it anymore, but the words are very powerful. I can't sing worth a lick, but it went something like this. It said, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Friends, as we begin this new year together, we're here in this place. Jesus is with us. What is it you want him to do for you? What is it? Is there something in your heart that is breaking? And you would give just about anything to see God answer that prayer. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's for somebody else. Or as I said, maybe there's a dream, a passion that God's put in you, and you would give just about anything to see God bring that to fulfillment in your life, in this church, in this community. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. You had on your seat when you came in a piece of paper and a pen. I want you to take that right now. I want you to listen very carefully. Do not put your name on this piece of paper. But I want you to write down one thing in your life that you would give anything to see God do this year. He's able. He is able. You take a moment and fill that out on that piece of paper. God said, call unto me, and I will answer you. I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things you never knew. He is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? When you're finished, if you would fold them in half. And here's what I want to do. Norm and Roger, if you guys would help me out. I want these two sections to pass the papers in to, as far as you can, to this middle aisle. And I want these two sections to pass your papers in this direction as far as you can into this middle aisle. And these guys are going to gather these up. Look, church, I want us to take a few minutes to do this today. Because would you rather be in a church that talks about prayer and God's power, or would you rather be in a church that prays and sees God's power? Have we got them all? Okay, now guys, what I want you to do is switch sides. Roger, you come over here. Norm, you head over to that side. And then I want you to just randomly pass them out. Take a few minutes and try to get one in the hands of everybody. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to take just a few minutes, and I want you to spend some time in silent prayer praying for your brothers and sisters in this church. You don't know who these are from. There are no names on them, and that doesn't matter because God does. But what a great opportunity for us to go from talking in general terms about what God can do and getting specific. And what a joy to know that your brothers and sisters are praying for you right now. And I want you to take that piece of paper home, and I would ask you to commit the best that you can to praying for that request throughout this week, throughout this month. Let's take a few minutes right now, and you look at that request, and you call out to God on behalf of your brother and sister in this room. Father, we thank you for this chance to sit in silence, so rare that we hear silence nowadays, and to just know that that one thing that we would ask you for if you walk through this room today is being prayed for right now. There's power in prayer. There's power when a saved person lifts up a name before the Heavenly Father. There's power in that. And I ask you, Father, from this simple meeting today, that these prayers would rattle heaven's throne room, and that, God, you would unleash your power, your infinite ability to change situations, to change lives, to let us see the answers to these prayers. We know that you are able. In Jesus' name, amen.